So good morning. This is your first session, and we are very, very fortunate to have one of the best teachers in the Brahma Kumaris, who is Sister Shilu. She is a teacher and a student of this Brahma Kumaris for many, many, many years. She is renowned for her grasp on this knowledge and how to translate it into English or Hindi or many other languages. People grasp the essence of what Shilu Ben talks about. She's originally from Bombay or Mumbai, and she's been living in the main campus for at least 45 years, probably longer. And she is in such great demand for all of the what's called Raj Yoga camps. It's like the peace of mind for Indian students, but in 3 days. So you're lucky that you get 7 days. So Sister Shilu, particularly for her meditation training and sharing that with you, it's a real art. And so we'll have a few moments of silence as more of our guests are joining. So Shilu Ben will tell you about who am I, the soul, Om Shanti, and where we come from, which is a great mystery. So if I could humbly invite Sister Shilu Ben to join us and enjoy.
Greetings of peace and love to all of you, and in the Brahma Kumaris we greet each other with the words Om Shanti. So Om Shanti to all of you. Om Shanti means I am a peaceful being. And all of you, as peaceful beings, are here in this Brahma Kumaris organization, in this beautiful campus of Gyan Sarovar, sitting in this Universal Harmony Hall. So on behalf of myself also, I welcome all of you. Welcome, welcome. I feel very fortunate indeed to be here sitting in front of you, addressing you from who have come from all over the world. I heard that you have come from 53 countries. So definitely it's a wonderful gathering here. But if you look at it in a very spiritual way, it is only one family. It is one spiritual family, because we say that this world is God's family. We are the family of God, as God is our Father, and we as His children belong to that Father, and so we are one family. But then when we say we are spiritual children, it has a very, very deep meaning. Because physically, if you go to see, no one can have such a big family. Even if one has many, many children and grandchildren and, you know, very big family, but it will not be as big as this, because we say the whole world is our family, as we are the children of one Supreme Being. And we are all souls. So we are a spiritual family, spiritual beings and children of one spiritual father, and therefore a spiritual family. But then, what do we mean by spiritual family? The word spiritual comes from the word spirit. Spirit means the soul. Spirit means the self, the true internal being. Because we do understand when we say we are human beings. If I ask someone, who are you? Although he may give his introduction in different ways, and each one's introduction will be different. But if I were to ask about one introduction of all of you, you would say we are all human beings with different name, culture, religion, language, nationality, occupation, and so on. But one universal thing would be, which would be for all, and that is we are all human beings. But then the word human being is also not one word, it is two words, human and being. The human part comes from the word humus, and humus means soil, mud, soil. And the being part is the consciousness. You can compare it to a hardware and software in a computer. They are both different things. Software can be carried with you wherever you go, but hardware remains where it is. Or even if you are carrying a laptop or a tablet or whatever, but software is very, very important, because you have downloaded in that many, many files, many, many programs. So you have the hardware and the software. But we have to ask ourselves, who am I? I can't be both. I'm either the hardware or I am the software. I'm either the car or I'm the driver. I'm either a hut or a cottage, or I'm a lamp lit in that hut. So I have to decide what I am. Definitely I'm not the physical part, because physical part is visible, but the spiritual part is not visible. And therefore many people get so confused when they are asked, who are you? Who are you? Who am I? This is such a tricky question. And this question has been coming down since ages. Even the greatest of philosophers have asked this question, who am I? Am I the physical part or am I the spiritual part? If I am the physical part, then I will say, I am what I eat. Because what I eat makes my body. If I am the physical part, I will say, I am what I wear. What type of clothes I wear. If I'm a physical part, I will say, I am what I do. So what I eat, what I wear, what I do, that's what I am if I say I am something physical. But actually, am I really that? Somebody may be very heavy physically, but internally is very light. He may be very fat, but if you tell him to dance, he'll stand up and dance as if he had no weight at all. And contrary to that, there may be a very thin person, very lean person, and you tell him, come on, dance. He'll say, no, I don't want to dance. Because physically he may be very light, but internally he's very heavy. That is why he doesn't want to dance. So what is he really? Even if he's physically very heavy, but internally light, is he really light or is he heavy? If he's physically light, but internally very heavy, then also, is he light or is he heavy? So again, a question. So even if he's physically heavy, but he's light, he's dancing, so he's not really heavy, he's light. And if he's physically very light, but he's not dancing, that means he's heavy. So external and internal are very different. There's a very interesting saying, God made man, and a tailor made a gentleman. He wears a nice coat, pants, you know, he looks a very big, nice gentleman, very handsome, very good looking. But then there's a question, God made man and a tailor made a gentleman, but I asked that gentleman, how gentle are you? How gentle are you? If he's not really gentle, then can he be called a gentleman? It's not just the dress he wears. So it's not the clothes which we wear which really make us. It's not what occupation we have that really makes us. Somebody may be a managing director of a company, but at home, he is helping his wife to cook. He's helping his children to study. He's even cleaning and swapping and, you know, sweeping maybe. If the servant hasn't come, he has to clean the house. But in the office, he is a managing director. So what is he really? Because these roles are quite different. So am I just my role? Am I what I wear? Am I what I do? Am I what I eat? Or am I what I think? Because that's the software. And therefore the real saying is, you are what you think. And what you think, that you shall become. Although you may not be that now, but if you are thinking about it, one day you can become that. So you are what you think. And what you think, you attract that. And one day you can become that. You are what you feel. You are what you visualize. You are what you realize within you. You are what you experience. All these are the subtle parts, not the physical part. So feeling, visualizing, thinking, experiencing, the spiritual part, the subtle part, that's what I really am. So I'm not just this physical body of bones and flesh. I am a spiritual being, what I call a soul. And S-O-U-L, if you, you know, spell it as S-O-U-L, it's a source of unique light. S-O-U-L. It's a source of unique light. And we say unique light means it is double light. Light has two meanings. One meaning is it's physically very light. Something light is called light. And the other meaning could be light which sparkles, which gives a shine. So I am that spiritual entity which is double light. I'm very light in weight. I'm not heavy. This physical body may be 60 kilos, but I am so light, a tiny point of divine light. And what is my nature? My nature is what I'm always aspiring for. I'm always aspiring for peace. Well, that's my nature. Why am I aspiring for peace? Because that is what I am. Why am I aspiring for love? Because that is what I am. And the beauty of the self is that peace, love, happiness, what we all are aspiring for, is not something outside. It is within the soul, the self. So that awareness is necessary. Because it's not the body which wants peace or love or happiness. Definitely not. This body is only a physical entity. What the body needs is really food, water, shelter, clothing. That's all. But in spite of getting food, water, shelter, clothing, if one does not have peace and love and happiness, then that life has really no value. Life has value, or life is valuable, only if there are these values. Someone may have all the needs which we all need in life, but still if you ask him, are you happy? He will say, no, I want to die, I want to die. So he is nothing, he is not lacking anything, but still he is not happy. I want peace, he'll say. Why do you want peace? You have everything. And therefore we say it's all in the mind. And mind is not physical. Mind is spiritual. No neurosurgeon or brain surgeon will be able to locate the mind in the brain. It will talk about the hypothalamus, it will talk about the left brain, the right brain, you know, all these parts of the brain. But where is the mind? As it is not physical. And therefore, it is the mind which has to be understood. And that is what I am. So I am what I think. And mind is that energy which can think, which is not part of the brain. It is part of the self, the soul. So who am I? Is a very, very big question. And how to obtain peace is another question. Because when I say I want peace, is definitely not the body which is wanting peace. Because if it is the body which is wanting peace, then that means death. Peace of the body is death. When somebody dies, his body is put in the grave, and he said now he's resting in peace. The body is resting in peace. So the body gets peace. But still, we pray to God for the peace of the soul. But if it's the body which was wanting peace, It already got peace. But then why are we praying to God for the peace of the soul? Because it's not the body which wants peace. If I say body wants peace, it means death. But not I want death, I want life. And still I want peace. So what is peace? How do we define peace? Many people have tried to define peace. And you know how they define? Some would say that no war is peace. If there's no war in a country, it means there is peace. But is that true? Today it's not that there's war in every country, but is there peace? So no war is peace is not the right answer. Because again, how does a war start? It first starts in the mind of man before it comes on the battlefield. It doesn't come on the battlefield straight away. It first starts in the mind and then it comes on the battlefield. And therefore, if you want to define peace, it will not be as no war is peace, because war starts in the mind first. And therefore, peace also has to start in the mind first. So if we want peace in the world, there has to be peace in each one's mind first. Each drop makes an ocean. Many people say that when there'll be world peace, then I'll get peace. Definitely not. It is individual peace which leads to world peace. It's not world peace which leads to individual peace. And therefore, peace is not just no war. Again, somebody else may give another answer. It is the inner satisfaction. When my needs are looked after well, food, water, clothing, shelter, and whatever the body requires, if I have everything, then I'm at peace. But again, it's not true. All the physical needs I have, but still I'm not at peace. Therefore, again, peace is not defined as all physical requirements given and therefore I'm at peace. No. Because desires keep growing. One desire fulfilled, another desire will come, and then that fulfilled, another desire will come. So where is peace? Where is that inner satisfaction? You eat in the morning, you breakfast, and again afternoon you're hungry, you need lunch. Again you're hungry, you need dinner. So that hunger, that thirst continues. Where is the peace? Where is the satisfaction? Again, that is not peace. And therefore, we have to understand what peace is. It is not absence of something. It's not absence of war. It's not absence of sound. Peace is a presence of a power. Peace is a presence of some energy. It's not absence of something. Just like we talk about light. Light will not be described as absence of darkness. Will you describe light as absence of darkness? No, because darkness does not have any source that it is existing because of some source. Darkness is nothing but absence of light. Light has a source. Light has a source. And therefore the definition of light will be definition of light coming from the source. So what will we say? What is light? It is a ray coming from the sun. That is what light is. So the sun is the source. But darkness has no source. So when we say light, it is coming from the source. So when we say peace, it also has to come from a source, because that's the energy. Heat is energy. as heat reduces, you feel the cold, because the body feels the cold, because it is less than the body temperature, so you feel the cold. If it's more than the body temperature, then you feel hot. So it's the heat which is the energy, which is measured. So heat is measured, light is measured, sound is measured. There's no measurement of silence. And therefore we say, peace is also a measurement. You know, somebody may say, I got little peace, I got more peace, I got a lot of peace. You know, so again it's measured. But then who's experiencing it? It is the soul. So I am that spiritual being, the soul, in this physical body, which is experiencing the peace, the love, the happiness. And I don't get that from outside. This is the greatest irony of life. What is not outside, we are looking for that outside. It is just like looking for a black cat in a dark room, and it really doesn't exist there. This is what is peace outside. It doesn't exist there. And you're looking for a black cat in a dark room. How will you find it? You can't. And as it is not outside, searching for it outside is futile. And therefore we say, go within, look within, search within, and find within. So within means what? Within does not mean dissecting the body and finding it within the body. You won't find peace there. But within means, again, the true self, the soul, the spirit, the psyche, the consciousness. And that's what I am. And what is, should be my experience when I go within? Even if I try to go within, why am I not able to experience peace? Because there's so much of negativity in the mind. You know, you're looking for something in your cupboard. You know you have put it there, but then along with that, you have put so many other things in that cupboard. So many things that, even if there was no space, you just dumped everything in, and then you shut the door, you close the cupboard, and now you feel, oh, everything is my, the thing I'm looking for, what I want is also inside. But you're afraid to open the door. Because if you open the door, everything will fall down. Whatever you have dumped inside that cupboard. And you won't even be able to know where you have that thing which you put it safely in the cupboard. So even if you say, peace is within, but there's so much of negativity in the mind that peace is like lost within that negativity. And we say, I can't find it. Sometimes we are not ready to go inside too, because of that negativity. And sometimes we're afraid to go inside. Why? Because there's so much of emptiness. Neither the negativity nor the peace, just emptiness. Even that emptiness can, frighten me. It's like going to a cemetery where there's no one, only dead bodies in the graves. Sometimes people get so afraid there. There's no one there, no sound, but so afraid they are. And somewhere you go enjoying, laughing. Again, you're not really very happy and you really don't know what you're looking for. So where will I find my peace? This, I have to first of all finish my negativity which is inside me. And why that negativity has come in me? It is because of body consciousness. I identify myself with this body. And when I identify myself with this body, I identify others also with their bodies. And then things also in a physical way I identify. And I say, this is mine, this is yours. This is his, this is hers. But spiritually, if you go to see, nothing of this world belongs to me. Nothing. Nothing. That is why it is said, I have come alone and I will go alone. I brought nothing, I will take nothing. And when I say nothing, means nothing physically. But spiritually, yes, I have brought something and I will definitely take something. What I have brought my fortune. And what I will take my actions, my karma. I will take my subconsciousness with me. So that's all part of the soul. And when I understand myself in this way, I begin to realize that I should not feel so superior. I should not have any ego or arrogance of my possessions. Because this arrogance or ego of my possessions can one day give me a lot of sorrow. Why? Because nothing is permanent in this world. Today I may be a multi-millionaire. Tomorrow I may become a pauper, you know, completely bankrupt. Today I'm very strong physically, and tomorrow a disease can come and finish. This body has become very weak, has become weak. Why? Because nothing is permanent physically. Nothing. Anything physical is not permanent. It's all temporary. It's all changing. That's why it is said in this world, everything is changing except change. Change is eternal. Otherwise, nothing else is eternal. Only change is eternal. So when this change is understood in this way, then again, who am I? I am something which is never changing. I am eternal. I existed even before this body came into existence. And I will continue to exist even after this body perishes. This is what I am. I cannot be cut by a sword. I cannot be burnt by fire. I cannot be made wet by water. I cannot be made dry by air. Because all these elements, all these are also changing. But I am that eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, and invisible entity, the soul, a spark of light. And in me is that power to think, the mind. It is a subtle energy. It has the greatest speed which no physical energy can ever have. We say the rocket speed is so high, so great. The speed of light is tremendous. They say for the speed of light, that when the sun ray comes from the sun, starts from the sun and falls on earth, the first ray, it takes 8 minutes. You know, it travels and comes on the earth. It takes 8 minutes to reach the earth, the first ray from the sun. But for the mind, how long does it take to reach the sun? Yes? Can you give any number? How long does it take for the mind to reach the sun? Then 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, or 1 second, a fraction of a second. So how much is the speed of the mind? Can you count? How powerful it is. And that's what I am. But we have to understand this in a spiritual way, not in a physical way. Not about physical power. You know, today we talk about many different types of powers. Money power, man power, machine power, material power, muscle power, you know. We talk about these powers. But all these powers are perishable. They are temporary. They are always changing. They can never remain eternal. But the soul power, that is eternal. In that, the mind power, that is eternal. In that, the peace power, that is eternal. And therefore, if I want to experience peace, I should not go outside. It is futile. I have to go inside. Inside means to be aware of the self as an entity separate from the body. I'm different from this body. I'm now looking through these eyes. These eyes are not seeing. Eyes are only windows. The eyes cannot discriminate anything. They cannot say this person is a good person or a bad person. So eyes are only like windows through which the soul is seeing everyone. The ears are like your headphones, you know, earphones. They are just helping you to listen. They can't listen on their own, but you are listening through these headphones, through the ears. This mouth is like a microphone. The microphone cannot discriminate or decide what to speak and what not to speak. So this mouth is only an instrument through which that soul is speaking. So I am that soul looking through these eyes. I am that soul hearing through the ears. I am the soul speaking through this mouth. Now if I want to speak, I am the master. If I don't want to speak, I can just keep my mouth shut. Because I'm the master of this mouth. I cannot say that, I don't know why I said like that to him. I should not have said it. I don't know how these words came from my mouth. Well, they did not come on their own. You spoke them. I don't know why I did this. This is such a weak question. Why I did this? You are the master. You cannot say why. It's up to you to decide what to do and what not to do, what to hear, what not to hear, what to see, what not to see, what to speak, what not to speak. And once you have spoken, you can't take it back also. What you have heard, it's gone in. What you have seen, it's gone in. But still we can decide what to see, what not to see. If I don't want to see, even if the eyes are, you know, looking at it, but still, I'm not seeing it. Even if these ears are able to, you know, sound is going in, but I'm not really listening, I'm not hearing. It's up to me. And that's what I learn in meditation, to detach myself from this physical surroundings, physical pulls, physical atmosphere, and I'm a soul seated here, between the two eyebrows. This is the seat of the soul. So when I meditate, I focus my thoughts here. That's my seat. This is seat of the soul. And as a seat of the soul, I work through these physical organs. And if I don't want to do any action, I can just withdraw. The beautiful example is of a tortoise. How a tortoise When it wants to walk, it takes out its limbs, hands, legs, head. When it doesn't want to walk, it just withdraws. And there's a hard shell outside which is a defense for that tortoise. It defends itself with that shell. So meditation is like that defense for me, when I can withdraw in 1 second, be inwards. It starts with an inward journey, going within. I'm a soul seated here between the two eyebrows, and I'm the master of my senses. This is my control room. I control my senses through this control room. And when I'm seated here, I realize that as I'm the master of my senses, I'm also the master of my feelings. I'm the master of my thoughts. Whatever I want to think, I can think. Sometimes we become slaves of our own thoughts. Thoughts control us. What we don't want to think, we are still thinking. And what we want to think, we just can't think. How helpless we become. Just like for words, I don't know why I spoke, I don't know why I saw, I don't know why. You become helpless. So too you become helpless with your thoughts too. I don't know why I can't stop thinking this. I don't know why I can't remember this, you know. So you have become slave of your own mind too. Your mind has become your master. Actually, you are the master. Mind is nothing but thought energy. And those thoughts which I'm creating in the mind, they are my creation. And I'm the creator. If I don't want to think something, I can give a break. Why not? Like in a car, we have a break. It's a very powerful break. I should be able to say to myself, no, I don't want to think. And I'm thinking that should stop. So when I'm doing meditation and I'm going inwards, becoming aware of myself as a soul, a point of divine light and might, I'm the master of my senses, I'm also the master of my mind. Many people, when they meditate, they think we have to just go beyond thoughts. Go beyond thoughts. I should not think. I should stop thinking. Actually, the mind cannot stop thinking. Mind means just like the eyes are meant to see, so mind is meant to think. But what to think and what not to think, that I have to decide. And therefore the soul is not only having the mind, but also has the intellect. Intellect is the decisive force in the soul, which decides what to think and what not to think. So above the mind is the intellect. And the third part should be the actions. First the thinking part, then the deciding part. The decision power is with the intellect. What to think and what not to think. What to accept and what not to accept, to reject. Just like you have a sieve. You want tea and you have the sieve with you and you are pouring the tea with the tea leaves. The tea leaves remain above and the tea comes in the cup. So that sieve acts like a filter. It helps you to take just what you have to drink and then not to take the tea leaves. So the intellect is like a sieve. It's a decisive factor in the soul, what we call as the soul's voice, the inner voice. What is that inner voice which is always guiding me towards the right action? But sometimes we just neglect that, we avoid that, we suppress that, and we become aggressive sometimes. Why? Because the sense organs have become aggravated. The mind and intellect are really become subservient. The senses have become the masters. And therefore we say something what we should not be saying. We hear something what we should not be hearing. We see something what we should not be seeing, because the senses are pulling the mind and the intellect. And then again afterwards you feel so guilty within. So actions should be third stage. First your thinking part, then your decisive part, the intellect, and then third part should be the actions. But very often we do not pay heed to our thoughts and our feelings and our inner voice. We just do the actions extempo, and that's all body consciousness. And therefore when we practice meditation, the first step is to go inwards. I'm a soul. My nature is peace. My nature is love. My nature is happiness. My nature is bliss. My nature is, you know, sharing with others. I've come in this world to give peace, to give love. I've not come in this world to take, but I've come to give. This physical body will take. But the soul wants to give. So I am that soul, and I can share my peace with others through my thoughts, my words, my actions. I'm that soul which can share love through my thoughts, my words, my actions. I don't ask for peace, I don't ask for love, but I have it with me which I can share with others. And the beauty of this sharing is, the more I share, the more I experience myself too. Because what I give, I get back. Physically it's not like that. I don't get back what I give. I take something and then it's finished, inside it goes, and then it's the rubbish comes out. It's finished, it's dissolved. But peace, love are eternal entities. They are eternities of the soul, which I can always share with everyone. So I am that soul, an embodiment of peace and love. And as an embodiment of peace and love, I become aware of myself as my true nature. And then in a second, I can go beyond. Where beyond? Beyond this physical world. Beyond the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. There's a sixth element, the infinite world of light. That's my eternal home. I'm only a guest in this world. I'm only an actor on this world drama stage. As Shakespeare said, this world is a stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. So as actors playing our respective roles, what is my duty? To play the best role possible. And in that role, to share these qualities, peace, love, happiness to all, through my thoughts, words and actions. And as I'm an actor, I'm not permanently living in this world. This stage is only meant for acting. I've come from another world. I have an eternal home, the home of peace. So I am a peaceful soul and I've come from an eternal home of peace. So in a second, I can reach there. Withdraw from the physical world, physical senses, and in a second with my mind and intellect, fly to that eternal home. And with my eye of the mind, visualize a world of silence. Complete silence. infinite golden red light. That is my eternal home of silence, without any sound, without any actions, without any physical pulls. It is just and just peace. It is just and just love. It is just and just inner happiness, or you can say fulfillment. So this is like traveling to that soul world, wherein you are in a world of complete silence. This is the second step in meditation. You are going beyond. You don't belong to this world. So no ego, no attachments, no pulls to belongings, to people, to objects. Totally light. So I am that light which is feeling light, and I see myself in a world of light. This is the first stage in meditation. And then of course tomorrow you will be told how I communicate with the Supreme, who is the source of peace and love and happiness. How to claim that power of peace from that Supreme by connecting the Self with that Supreme. But now, just two steps. One step, first step, going inwards, becoming aware of the Self as a peaceful soul. And second step, going beyond this physical awareness. And in a second, with the mind and intellect, seeing yourself in that eternal world of light. And in that world of light, you are completely light, free from all pulls and bondages, totally light and detached, and filled with all your goodness, your qualities, which you originally are. You are free from all negativities too. So let us experience that for some time. And then afterwards, if you have any questions, you are most welcome. So we will, now this red light will be switched on. And this red light indicates to us that, now give a full stop, a stop to your thoughts of this world. You are not Mr. So-and-so, you are not Mrs. So-and-so, or you are not a doctor, engineer, this, that, but you are a soul. You are not neither this of this country or that country or that language or this language. No, you are a soul. And the language of the soul is silence. And that's what I am. So let us sit in silence. Let us sit upright. Please sit upright. Go within. Go within. Ask yourself, who am I? From where am I? I answer myself. I am a soul. A point of divine light and might. Seated between the two eyebrows, where I focus my thoughts. am the master of my senses. This physical body is like an outer costume. This world is like a stage. I, the soul, am an actor. On this world drama stage, having put on this physical body, which is like my costume, I can withdraw from this physical body in a second. I can go inwards in 1 second and seat myself between the 2 eyebrows. Having focused my thoughts there, I now control my senses. I control my mind as well. I now decide what to think and what not to think. I am a peaceful soul. Peace is my nature. Is the great power within me. Peace is my true energy. My eternal home is the world of peace. I am now surrounded by peace. There is only peace all around me. I am beyond any physical pulls and attractions. I am only a point of light. In the world of light, very, very peaceful. No pulls, no bondages. No fear, as I am eternal, as I was never born and I will never die. I was, I am, and I will always be. My eternal home is beyond this physical universe, beyond this physical cosmos. It is in the world of light. I see myself in that world of light. Totally peaceful. How peaceful I am. My mind is completely silent. Having become peaceful, having filled myself up with that spiritual energy, I now return to the physical world. To play my part as an actor on the world drama stage. I know that nothing is permanent in this physical world. But I, the soul, am eternal and immortal. I am a peaceful soul. There's only peace and peace around me. How peaceful I am. I'm now aware of my true identity.